The following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
God wants justice for all people. Isaiah proclaims this as the word of God. My servant will bring forth justice. Or again, my servant will faithfully bring forth justice. Or again, God will not faint until he has established justice in the earth. God gives us a clue what this justice will look like when we read, I have given you as a covenant to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. Isaiah adds more to God's vision from chapter 61, where we read that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. And it is this proclamation that Jesus claims as his mission in the same words of Isaiah that we just heard. All this is simply to reiterate that God not only wants justice, but that God sees it as having to do with how human beings, God's children, treat one another. Now, the word justice I used has been used in various ways. It is frequently translated in our scripture tradition as judgment. It is our final reckoning day, the last judgment, the judgment day, and so forth. Judgment in this context usually means punishment will be meted out to the bad guy. Today, when a prosecutor says one will be brought to judgment, we interpret that as punitive in nature. However, that word judgment is also seen as something different. It's sometimes used as justice. A commentator on Isaiah, James Muhlenberg, calls us to regard justice in its highest sense, having to do with one's right relationship with God and therefore with others. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had the right idea in his letter from the Birmingham jail. He wrote, "A just law is a man-made code that squares with the law of God." In another setting, he wrote, "Justice is love in calculation. Justice is love correcting that which would work against love." Or again, he wrote, "Any law that uplifts human personality is a just law, and any law that degrades human personality is an unjust law." Dr. King believed that the universe is on the side of justice. For today's sermon, justice will be seen as, first of all, the framework for carrying out God's love, and secondly, establishing a right relationship between people. Because of these, our driving motivation and motivation forces that come from God. Now let's ground the theoretical with some reality. Where does God want justice? When our granddaughter was 11 years old, she told her parents that she wanted to be a model for justice. This surprised and pleased her parents. They then began to ask her how she planned to live out a life committed to justice and love. As a few other questions came her way, she frowned and said, "Oh no, not that. I want to model clothes for the Justice Clothing Store." That was not where they thought this was all going. But God does want justice to prevail in family life. Too often there may be the self-centered adult around whom everyone else's life must revolve. The parent who is inconsistent in regards to her or his expectations, in regards to moral behavior. The child who refuses to share the load when it comes to household and family needs. The one sibling who rules another by intimidation and fear. The child who thinks only of himself or herself. A teacher tells of one of her students and his winter boots. He asked for help, and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots still did not want to go on. But finally, when the second boot was finally on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong foot." She looked, and sure enough, they were. She managed to keep her cool as they worked together to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. He then announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue again, rather than let get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. He then said, "They're my brother's boots. My mother made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots back on his feet again. She said, "Now, where are your mittens?" Well, he said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Such behavior is funny in this context, but a selfish, self-centered child is nothing to laugh at. God wants justice in family life. And then God wants justice in community life, where too often long lines can represent poor planning due to insensitive planning, or where businesses have hopelessly messed up our accounts, or when government entities have needlessly frightened and intimidated us, or large and complex health systems that have confused or underserved. We all have our stories, don't we? God wants justice between cultures and nations. Such tensions have existed for thousands of years. We read about them in the Bible as well. Players may change, however, but the basic crises continue. Racism has shifted up from the more obvious to the more subtle and covert. Instances of racial profiling are denied by some, but such incidences are out there. But for those who are accustomed to being treated as second-class citizens, it generates real fear, suspicion, a lack of trust. Our conflicts between nations will never be resolved unless prejudices and fears are first sorted out. Lack of attention to a destructive virus and disease in third-world countries can at least partly be due to racial and cultural prejudice. God feels the pain in all these instances of injustice in family life, in community relations, in international interaction. God longs for the time when we bend to God's will and become, as Dr. King encouraged, to be a drum major for justice, a drum major for peace, a drum major for righteousness. From the beginning of creation, God has worked for and toiled for this justice. In today's passage from Isaiah, we read of the sufferings, one of the suffering servant poems. God is to place a servant on this earth to establish justice. Exactly who God had in mind has been up for questions. It was up for question even in the time that the first was written and read. A specific king, Isaiah, in Isaiah's time, a Messiah, the remnant of Israel that has been freed from captivity in Babylon, the nation of Israel itself. Who is this servant? But we are assured that God will bring justice. And with our New Testament glasses on, we see this promise definitely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God so desired justice and reconciliation that God sacrificed his own son for the cause. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we read of the imprisoned John the Baptist inquiring if Jesus is the one. Jesus' message back to him is, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Jesus clearly sees himself as the one fulfilling the promise in Isaiah. God will faithfully bring forth justice. And the fulfillment of that promise impacts you and me. We now know justice will prevail because God prevails. It's part of our spiritual, emotional, and even physical being. As we see and experience the multitude of injustices in our world, within our communities, within our families, we know that they are not the final outcome. I once knew a man who refused to come to Sunday morning worship anymore. The last time he attended, not here, someplace else, a person of different color than he sat down next to him. He did not want to take the chance that it might happen again, so church now was off his list. At first, he made me very angry. But then I remembered that God not only loved this man, but God would not give up on him. I never was able to, I tried to follow up and then lost track, but I do not know how it worked out. But I knew that God would eventually faithfully bring forth justice. Abraham Heschel once wrote, "To defy justice is to block God's almighty surge. And I know that this almighty surge cannot ultimately be turned away." Now let's consider the role you and I play in helping to fulfill God's call to establish justice. We want to consider just briefly, one, the personal acceptance of our just and right relationship with God, and then secondly, how we can be agents for God's justice today. We can never give up enriching and deepening our own relationship with God. I guess we need to begin by acknowledging that we do not deserve God's love or patience. We do not even earn God's love. God certainly sees our sinfulness, our weakness, our self-centeredness, yet still reaches out to us. How forgiving and just God is. And how we respond? Well, first of all, by simply thanking God. And second, by committing to being an agent of God's justice. Establishing justice need not be a noisy business. In March of 1965, people calling for equal voting rights began a protest march to Montgomery, Alabama, from Selma. They were met by police at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma and driven back with billy clubs and tear gas. Many were injured. A day or so later, seminary students from Boston University School of Theology filled a bus and traveled to Selma. Their or our purpose was to participate in another attempt to march to Montgomery. However, when we arrived and we discovered the march was to get delayed, and we wanted to know why, we were told that leaders were engaged in behind-the-scenes negotiations. They wanted the march to be peaceful for everyone. They wanted to avoid the terrible event at the bridge. So conversations were held with law enforcement officials and others to discuss plans. Agreements were finally made, and the march then proceeded. However, the students from Boston had then returned back to Boston. Justin made significant inroads in the civil rights movement because of discussions behind closed doors. Justice need not be a noisy business. Justice can be addressed in the quietness of a child's room. Justice is often fulfilled in the confidential dialogue in the boss's office. Justice can prevail in the one-on-one conference between teacher and parent. We need not always shout to obtain justice. Establishing justice, remember we are talking about a justice as a right relationship, need not destroy one person so another might win. Isaiah says that the God-sent servant will be gentle with the bruised reed and not quench the dimly lit wick of those whose faith is weak. They must not be treated harshly. Some may be in a marginal condition and cannot be pushed over the edge. Gentleness can make a difference. Taking time with the angry, tired store clerk, listening to the alienated church member, praying with or for one who seems out to hurt you. Kindness, sympathy, empathy, gentleness go a long way toward establishing justice. God calls you and me to be attuned to the injustices in our families, our neighborhoods, our community, our nation, our world. It may be a conversation or dialogue. It may be a letter, and yes, sometime perhaps a picket sign. And so knowing that justice is about a right relationship, righting a wrong, changing a policy, lobbying for change, justice is based on what God has already done for you. You need just to tap into it. This is not always easy to remember. Soon after a four-year-old little girl's brother was born, she began to ask her parents to leave her alone with her new baby brother. The parents were not so sure. They worried that, like most four-year-olds, she might feel jealous and want to hit or shake him. So the parents said no. But she showed no signs of jealousy. She treated her baby brother with kindness, and her pleas to be left alone with him became more and more urgent. They decided to allow it. Elated, she went into the baby's room and shut the door. But the little crack in the door opened as the parents looked through to see what happened and listen to what happened. They saw their little daughter walk quietly up to her little brother, put her face up close to his, and say quietly, "Baby, tell me what God feels like. I'm starting to forget." Let us not forget how God has justly treated us and how God, through Jesus Christ, helps us create a right relationship between ourselves, God, and others. And then in gratitude and thanksgiving, we will be able to be God's agent for justice. Let us pray. Glorious God, we bow before you this morning as your servants. We know we have let you down on many occasions, yet you continue to forgive us, care for us, reassure us, lead us. Your Son, through your Spirit, are here to re-energize and encourage us. You have created us to be social beings. We need one another. We depend upon one another. We lean on one another. You have not meant for us to go it alone. Help us, God, to maintain the bridges between us and our family, our friends, ones we know or whom we may not know. May your will for us to build community and not walls never be forgotten. You have shown us by means of your Son that right relationships are the keys to justice. Help each of us to take seriously the call of Christ to act out our love for you as we strive to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. May those within our own congregation know and feel your healing love. We pray particularly for Joanne Senek, Gail Wolf, Joanne Dickerson. We also hold in our prayers our sisters and brothers in Christ from the Ravenna United Methodist Church. We are frequently troubled by the danger of weakened relationships in our community and world. Help us to find that we may seem like something, what may seem like something too small to make a difference, be joined with others who feel the same way. Never let us forget that power and strength gained and inspired through you. Let us never forget that that can bring true justice to our world. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church, visit www.kentmethodist.org.